Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 25, verses 4 through 10. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. May the Lord add his blessing to our scripture this morning. You want to announce it?
For our song of meditation, we're going to sing in the Black Book, number 2055, You Are My Hiding Place. This may not be as familiar. Mary Lou's going to play it through once for us to get the tune. That we sang, There Is a Name I Love to Hear, of course, says, oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. When Dave and I were married 41 years ago, we chose a verse for our marriage. We had the scripture reference engraved in my engagement ring and the words to the verse in both of our wedding bands, which is First John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. So I sing that song and I think of my wedding ring and my marriage and Dave. Will you pray with me? Lord, open our hearts and minds and ears and eyes for what you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past almost 14 months that I have been with you, I have preached sermons in which I have compared you to chickens, to mules, and today to dogs. Now, I am a dog lover. Growing up, I had two dogs. The first one I don't really remember too much. His name was Sandy, and he was a cocker, but we had to leave him behind when we moved from Pennsylvania to Southern California. The second dog I had, my brother gave me for my 9th birthday. He paid $5 for her at the pound, and I named her Cleopatra. I had Cleo for 14 years. In 41 years of marriage, we've also had two dogs. The first one was a cockapoo that we named Molly Brown. Dave gave her to me for my birthday. The second dog that we had, Dave and the boys gave the dog to me for Christmas. You see a little pattern there. We also got this dog at the pound, but this was a purebred beagle that we named Charlie Brown. Now, Charlie Brown knew that he was my dog. He was attached to me. If I went out of the house for 15 minutes, when I came back, he greeted me like I'd been gone a month. And even if we were all coming in together and the rest of the family was ahead of me, he was like looking between legs, like, where is she, where is she, where is she? You know, I was the one he wanted to greet. Charlie is buried in the Czech Republic. But I mentioned Molly the cockapoo, who lived up to her namesake, the unthinkable Molly Brown, because she had a mind of her own from the first day. And so I decided after about 6 months that she really needed some dog obedience training. And so I found a local place that would do it, and I called, and I asked the question, is she too young? She's 6 months old. And they said, oh, no, no, that's a good time to come. And so Molly and I went each week. Well, all Molly wanted to do was meet and greet and have a big party with all the rest of the dogs. And week after week, I would watch these other, you know, the shepherds and the poodles and the cockers and all the other dogs learning how to sit and stay and heel. Not Molly. She still wanted to meet and greet and play. Well, at the end of the course, I don't know, it was 8 weeks, 10 weeks, there was a graduation, and I made Dave go. And after it was over, he said, I have never been so embarrassed in all my life, because Molly didn't do one thing she was supposed to do. And then the trainer had the audacity to say to me afterwards, you know, she really was too young to be in obedience school. I did not slap him, but I wanted to. Unfortunately, Molly never quite got the hang of obedience. I was never really her master. But I learned that there are striking parallels between how dogs relate to their master and how we relate to the Lord, who is our master. Every dog needs to learn obedience, and the same is true for us. When we choose to walk with Christ, we must learn to obey. There are over 400 scriptures that talk about obedience from Genesis to Revelation. Verses like, happy are those who obey His word. And we also read, obey Him, obey His laws, obey His words, obey His commands, obey His teachings, and many more. Now, there are several ways that dogs and we learn to be obedient. The first one is to come, which should be the most reliable of all commands in dog training. It takes a good, consistent, instantaneous come before you let a dog off a leash. And the key is always to make the coming a rewarding experience. You never call a dog that's misbehaving and then punish him for the bad behavior. Because dogs live in the moment. And by the time he gets to you, he's forgotten the misdeed. And he just, all he knows is that you called, he came, and then he got punished. And so the connection in a dog's mind will be that he's less likely to come the next time you call. Well, the Bible speaks again and again of God's desire that we come to Him and seek after Him. But He promises that when we come to Him, even when we've been doing something we shouldn't, even in our sin, He will forgive us and welcome us into His presence. We all know the story of the prodigal son, who demanded his inheritance and then left home, and then he squandered all of it until he was finally poor and starving and pig food was looking good to him. And finally, with his tail between his legs, dog pun intended, he goes home to ask his father to take him back as a servant because he thinks he does not deserve to be called a son anymore. But you know the end of the story. The father has been watching and waiting every day since he left, and when he sees him from far off, he runs and embraces him. All of the son's bad choices didn't matter. but were forgotten in the father's joy that he had come home. Well, as you know, God is just like the father in that story, and that's why Jesus told the parable. He gives us free will to choose what our actions will be and what type of life we will live. And when we choose to come to him, he takes joy in our decision. And he never punishes us for coming to him, but showers us with his blessings. Psalm 40 says, "Here I am, I have come, I desire to do your will." Then there is the command to wait. Now, this is not a stationary command like stay, which makes the dog have to freeze in position. This command allows the dog to move around freely, sit, or lie down. The command wait is to prevent forward motion so that a dog doesn't race out when you open a door or jump out a car window, and they need to stay where you are. It's a very hard command for dogs to follow because they want to get going. They want to leap into the coming experience. When we pray about a situation or a direction in our life, God is faithful to answer. And sometimes the response is a solid no. Or it might be yes, with many opportunities opening up. Sometimes God may not give a clear answer, but simply say, wait. And many times our response is, "Oh no, Lord, not wait. Please, just yes or no." But our challenge is to continue to trust him and to focus on our attention on him and not the desired answer that we want. And learning to do this is character building. Our tendency is to spend so much time thinking about the desired end that we have or moving ahead in our own efforts to achieve, and then we lose our focus on him. Sometimes God gives us a waiting period to strengthen our relationship with him. As a church, you have been in a waiting period for the last almost 14 months, a little more. And I know that at the beginning there were some that said, "Why can't we just get a pastor right away?" And even as time went on, like, "What's taking so long?" But I think you know that this is an important time for the congregation. First, to remember and celebrate Tim and Kathy's ministry with you for 11 years. Then to stop and think about who you were after those 11 years. How you had changed. What your needs were. What the needs were and how they changed in the community. And so we needed that time in the waiting room to get ready for what's coming in a few weeks. And when we wait, we can trust that he has our best interests in mind and our heart. The psalmist says, "I wait for the Lord, and in his word I put my hope." Another command that a dog needs to learn first is to sit. And while sit is fairly easy for a dog to learn, learning to lie all the way down on command is very difficult for many dogs. Because lying on a dog's back or their side with their belly open, they're vulnerable. And it's the most vulnerable position a dog can be in. But it's also a very submissive posture, because when a dog is lying down, they're more vulnerable to attack, and it's harder for them to get away or to respond and defend itself. So when a dog learns the down command, it means that he has developed trust that his master will keep him safe. Down is also the most restful position. Psalm 23, we know, is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." "He makes me lie down" sounds like a command. We become so busy in our lives that we often lose our sense of physical, emotional, and spiritual rest. And at times, the Lord will ask us to lie down, to rest, to take a breather. And that's critical to our physical, emotional, and spiritual health. How many nights have you lain in bed with your mind racing full of fears and stress and anxiety coming from a multitude of directions, making you feel vulnerable? need to turn your fears over to God and learn to trust Him with all aspects of your life. Proverbs says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Now, everything in the early stages of dog training involves working close to the handler and developing an intense focus on the master. The dog has to learn to respond to even the quietest commands and to come instantly, no matter what the distraction is around him. The dog and the handler begin to function as a team, and the dog draws confidence from the close proximity of his master. But then in advanced obedience training, the go command must be taught. And at first it's confusing for many dogs, because the dogs, it takes many repetitions for the dog to build a very successful, confident go. The dog must be obedient and under the master's control, not only when he's close to the master, but even across a room or across an open field. The master is no longer close enough to give physical instructions or corrections, so the dog must possess an internal control and a desire to please even at a distance. Jesus used a similar progression in training his disciples. Initially, he commanded them to follow me. And then he lived with them, instructing them daily in what it means to follow him. And then later, he sent 72 out in pairs to go ahead of him to the towns and villages, giving them specific directions of what to do and say. And then at the end of his earthly ministry, the last command that Jesus gives is in Matthew 28, which we know is the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When you send a dog to do a job, we send them under our command and authority. And our attention is on the dog, and we stand ready to give direction to help them to succeed in the assigned task, even though we are not physically beside them. And this is what Jesus, our master, does. First, he calls us to come to him, and then he teaches us how to follow him. And when we learn obedience, he begins to send us to do tasks that he has assigned and equipped us to do. The go command makes us uncomfortable, and it often requires us to take our faith boldly outside these walls. Jesus promises that his attention is always on us, and the Holy Spirit stands ready to guide, direct, and encourage us. He sends us in his name, under his command, and his authority. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So we're not so different from dogs. We've been created with an inborn desire to please our master and to work in close relationship with him. Our lives don't seem to be complete without that relationship. And just as we love our dogs and we feed them and nurture them and train them, God wants to have that same intimate relationship with us. His heart is moved to love us, to work with us, to bring us to changes in our lives and in our church, and to help us to come, to wait, to stay down, and to go. But there is a difference between us and dogs. The difference is we never graduate. We are always in obedience school. Let us pray. Lord, we know that we mean more to you than dogs do, but we know that you have called us in so many ways to trust you to come, to wait, to go, to sit down, because we know that you are faithful to be there with us each step of the way. We give you praise for that, and help us to continue to step out in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 294, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Remember our lemonade in the shade right in the gathering room, and I'm going to go directly in there and greet you there. So please join us. Hear these words from John 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember in the goodness of God you were brought into this world. By the grace of God you've been kept all the day long, even into this very hour, and by the love of God fully revealed in Jesus Christ, you and I are being redeemed.